if you will, the book of Genesis. We'll be looking. Let me get this turned on here. In the book of Genesis.
Is that it? Yeah. You find the place, chapter number 11 in the book of Genesis. It's good to be saved, to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin. And you know, I'm going to tell you, it's just good. It's good to be able to come to the household of faith, be able to worship in spirit and truth, and to be able to sing the songs of Zion together, hear the word of the Lord being taught and preached. And it's just a good thing all the way around. And I'm glad God provided such for us. All right, Hebrews chapter number 11. Notice in verse number 1, the whole earth was of one language and one speech. You ought to remember that. Do you know what that is? That's total integration. He says, and it was of one language and of one speech, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go let us make brick, burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime they had for mortar. And they said, go to, let us. You ever notice all the us's they're using? Let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we. But you talk about a self-serving, self-loving, sacrilegious bunch. Lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. The Lord came down to see, and the Lord came down to see the tower which the children of men had built. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they all have one language, and this they begin to do. Now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down. That's the Trinity there, the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. Let us go down and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. And so the Lord scattered them abroad from hence upon the face of all the earth, and they all left off to build the city. And therefore is the name of it called Babel, which means confusion. Because the Lord there did confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of thy word, and we do thank you for it and how good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. Bind the devil, every demon assigned to hinder, we plead the blood of Jesus over this congregation. Save the lost, lift up the downhearted, we pray thee, and we'll thank you in advance for all of it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach on when the Lord did confound the language. Now, you know, in the Bible, whenever you begin to look into it, you'll find out is that over there in the book of Genesis in chapter number 1, you'll find out that we read about a man and a woman by the name of Adam and Eve. And we read how God blessed them. And we read how that they no doubt took what they ought not to be taken of. And as a result of that, they who were naked and unashamed that were living in the garden, now they're having to clothe themselves. They're trying the best they can. They sewed fig leaves together, and they're trying to cover their own nakedness. Man's been notorious to try to always cover up his own nakedness. And, I'm talking about when he sees himself like God sees him. In this lesson that you're looking at, you'll find out when we see each other dressed and clad in all these clothing, it reminds us that man is born a sinner without hope and without God. Now we're looking at that in the mind of God, you realize it all, that there's only been two places. You know, in the mind of God, either you're headed toward heaven or you're headed toward hell. In the mind of God, you're either going to be able to be a condition of saved, or either you're going to be lost without hope and without God. In the mind of God, there's only two Adams. The first Adam that lost it all, and the last Adam is what he talks about that bought back more than the first one lost. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at, here's a group of people. And here's, you'll find, is that where the language has changed. Up until now, they all of them spoke the same language. You could go anywhere in the world. Every one of them had the same speech. They all had the same language. wasn't any language barrier whatsoever. Now, I realize, though, that even among ourselves, I have to get some time. I don't hear the best in the West now, but I have to get some of these kids, you know, I have to get them to repeat what they're saying 4 or 5 times because they talk as fast and faster than I do. And as a result of that, I don't think the human tongue was meant to be able to articulate that fast, that many words, that quick. I know I can't read them and get them back. And as a result of that, you're going to find out that here's some people, though, that they didn't have to worry about whatever language from another country. There was only one language and there was only one speech. So in the book of Genesis that we've just read in chapter 11, here's where all the languages came from. Look in chapter number 10, verse number 32. These are the families of the sons of Noah after their generation in their nations. And by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. The world doesn't like to talk about it whatsoever. But I'm going to tell you right now is that from Noah, the flood's already taken place. People have already died. They've already come off the ark. And let me tell you right now is that Noah's three sons, Shem and Ham and Japheth, that's where all the nations come from, either each one of them or a cross mixture of them. Now, that's the reason why, and in the day and hour that we're living in, they're always talking about, they've been working on it since time began, that they're going to get rid of racism. You're never getting rid of it. You're never going to get rid of it because it's a mark of God. And let me tell you right now, is he said what it was going to be and how it was going to be and how it was going to respond. That doesn't make you go around disliking anybody because of their race, but it does let you realize and know that, hey, we're not one language, we're not one speak, we're not one race anymore. And here they had total integration, and it's fixing to be a mess. People go to think, you know, if we could just go ahead and lay aside all these differences. You can't lay aside. I can go down through there and ask you, what kind of vehicle are you driving? What kind of vehicle are you driving? Some of them's going to say a Ford. Some going to say a Chevrolet. Some of them give a Telluride, a Pascalade. Some, whatever it is that you're driving. I got to just tell you right up front, make no mistake about it, is that you're all telling me a different name. Why can't you just say car? See that? What kind of dog you got? German Shepherd, Poodle, and then, you know, a bunch of ugly races of dogs. That doesn't mean that if it didn't mention yours that it's ugly, but some of you do have some ugly looking dogs. I said all that to be able to say this. You don't ever find anybody whenever they walk up and they ask you, hey, what kind of dog you got? It's just a dog. Just a dog. That's all there is to it. I don't look at no differences of people, differences of vehicles, differences of animals. See, the reality is there is a difference. And God made a difference. And God's about to make another difference right here. Now, in this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out is that these are people that, according to chapter number 10 of Genesis and verse number 1, these are people that are going to descend from Shem and Ham and Japheth, and this is all after the flood. And in the next part of that chapter 10, he begins to give you their descendants. He begins to give you the breakdown of each one of them's descendants. And in the Bible lesson, the Bible said these are the families of the nations. This is where it started it, buddy. This is where it's made up at. Now, of course, in the day we live in is that they make a big to-do of that about the White House while they embrace every queer they can. And they stick them queers in office. You know, the reason why a queer can't do a good job, they got a perverted mind. You see that? In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, and make no mistake about it, they've gotten to where now they're trying to get into the church of the living God. And for the most part, they're in across the country. You know what happens when I see a queer show up? I go to preaching about sodomites and sodomy, and I go to preaching about how God feels about it, and I preach on it until they get out. I don't mean being hostile and mean and ugly to them. I'm just trying to say to you that, if you will, I don't want some prissy pot boy. And I don't want some masculine girl. God bless you. Thank you. In this Bible lesson you begin to look at, you'll find that God is beginning to look now when people are in total, Well, harmony, if you will, please. Total integration. There's not a segregated bone in none of them's body. They're all of them together. They all speak the same. They all understand. They've all got the same language. And I want you to notice is that whenever they did, they journeyed from the east and they came there to the land of Shinar. And they've got the wrong materials, they're in the wrong place, they've got the wrong motive involved, and as a result of it, they're talking about, and they said, let us make a tower that'll reach into heaven. Now, in this Bible lesson, let me say to you that, if you will, that's human pride that does that. That's human rebellion that wants to be in defiance against God. And let me say to you, notice, if you will, over there in verse number 3, in the last part, they said one to another, let us make brick. That's a man-made thing. See, that's contrary to stones. Stones are God-made. In fact, whenever Israel was told about, whenever you go ahead and make an altar, you're going to make it a stone, but not hewn stone. If man raises a tool upon it and tries to help anyway, he's defiled it. But here they are. They're about to be able to make some bricks. And the Bible said they're going to use bricks instead of stone. That's kind of the way the world is right now. They like something man-made rather than stones that God made, the living stone, the Lord Jesus Christ. And they had a brick for stone and slime they had for mortar. Now watch this here. And they said, let us go and build a city and build a tower. The top may reach into heaven, and let us make a name lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Now, I want you to watch that, if you will. Little do they know that while they've got their eyes on brick making, it ain't going to be long in you reading the book of Exodus when they're over there in bondage unto Egypt. Buddy, they're having to work in them brick pits. They're having to make bricks. They're having to use mortar. And let me tell you right now is that here, they thought that would be a good idea. It's not so much fun whenever you're working under a bitter taskmaster like Pharaoh over there in Egypt. I noticed something else about in the lesson that you're looking at there when you see these bricks and that mortar. You know, over there in the book of Ezekiel in chapter number 22, and we'll not take time to turn there. But in Ezekiel 13, verse 10, 11, 14, and 15, then Ezekiel 22, 28, the preachers get in on it. And what they did was is that they began to daub it with untempered mortar. That's the way religion is. And let me tell you right now, if you've got the ideology of another way beside what God gave in the Bible, there'll be some group somewhere that's already adapted and adopted it. And as a result, they'll go to daubing this religion and daubing you with that religion. And it may look good while it's wet and hold it, but when it dries out, buddy, it's falling apart. And you'll go to hell without hope and without God. In this lesson, you'll find that such is religion without God. It just falls apart. Now, I want to say again to you that, if you will, please, is that there's only one written language and one spoken language that's here, and that's total integration. That's people there that they don't have a difference in any of that. There's no bars there that they can't cross over pretty easily. And as a result, they're saying, hey, you know what we ought to do? We ought to let us. We ought to let you and I build us a place here. And as a result of that, what they're doing is they're doing their work by their own imagination or their own wicked heart, and their works without faith. These are not people of faith. These are not people that believe God and the Bible, that which is good, right, moral, and decent. These are people that are without faith, and they've got their own ideology of being able to build a brick tower that'll be able to reach up into the heavens. Now, let me tell you what it is that this building is a work of man's hands. It's a work of man's imagination. It's a work without faith. And did you know that the Bible said that without faith, it's impossible to please him? For all that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, over in the book of Hebrews. In the lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you that man is always wanted to go upward by his own means and measure. In fact is, you know, have you ever heard of a totem pole among, like, Indians? And especially it was a big deal among the Alaskans and way back when in history. Oh my, they had some beautiful totem poles that reach up toward the heavens. And as a result of that, that was their worship. That was their God. The pagan worship has always been noticed for that kind of thing. There was what's called, and I never even heard of them, the maypoles in Austria that went way on up high and to the sky and all that. And let me tell you, that was a form of their tower building. The skyscrapers in New York, you ever wondered why they went to such trouble for that in these big cities? Man is wanting to display his handiwork. We could go on to where, not only that, but look at the rockets of Cape Kennedy. Look at all the jets and look at all the things that we've got. And let me say to you that, if you will, am I glad we've got jet planes? Sure. Rockets? Oh, yeah. But I don't want to become a worshiper of that. I don't want to put my hope and my faith and my trust in the implements of man-made warfare. I want to be able to trust they're no good unless God puts a blessing upon it, and then thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. In this lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you, is that the Bible said, did you notice in verse 5, and the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. Now watch this here. You know what God's doing? He's looking at your life and my life and everybody else's life. And he always has and he always will. And what he's doing here is more than a glance. It's more than a casual glance. What God is doing, he's looking down with a meticulous inspection of what man's doing. He's looking at his heart. He's looking at his mind. He's looking at his motive. See, God does that with you and I. In this Bible lesson, let me say to you, make no mistake, this is a first-hand inspection by the Lord. And by the way, whenever the day you got saved, God gave you a first-hand inspection by himself and showed you yourself like he sees you. And when he gave you repentance and faith, you was able to get saved by the grace of God. Now, the Bible over there in the book of Genesis, don't turn there, but in chapter 8, verse 21, he talked about man's heart is evil even from his youth. Over in the book of Genesis, chapter number 6, and about verse number 5, man's imagination and his heart is evil. That's the reason why God had Noah and built that ark and all that. He was going to bring an end to it. Now, look, don't lose your text, but look over here in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter number 17. In the book of Acts, in chapter number 17, there's a passage that we ought to look at. One of them is over here at about verse number 26 of that same chapter. Now, here's the Apostle Paul that stood in the midst of Mars Hill, Acts 17, 22. And he said, "You men of Athens, I perceive," in verse 22, "that all things you're too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with the inscription, 'To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth.'" Men have forgotten that, by the way. He is the Lord of heaven and earth. He created them. "Dwelleth not in temples made with hands, and neither is he worshipped with men's hands, as though that he needed anything, seeing that he giveth to all life and breath and all things. He hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell upon the face of the earth, and he hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation." You know the only thing that man's got in common right now? Blood. Used to he had one language. Used to he had one speech. Now the only thing that he's got is the life of the flesh that's in the blood. Now I want you to watch that. And the Bible said he's appointed the bounds of habitation. And in verse 27, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him, find him, and though he be not far from every one of us. I want to tell you right now is that here's what God's done. God divided races. God divided the bounds. God set the bound. And all this mess you're looking at. You ever seen that going on in Austin? All them cars ripping and romping and around and all that right there. I guess the police are standing on the corner side somewhere eating gummy bears and lollipops. Don't know what that was, but it's no more with us. Some kind of ballpoint thing or, you know. Did y'all hear it when it popped? I thought it was my spleen for a minute. I said all that just to be able to say this and to show you is that everything that man thinks would answer the problems of the world. Total integration, already had it. See? It didn't work then. It's not. bounds of habitation is not working. You know why? Because our cotton picking ancestors. You know what the Civil War was fought about? Well, we know a lot of it was, but it wasn't just that, a black man didn't like a white man or a white man didn't like a black. That ain't the right. You know what the Civil War was? You know how wicked and godless it was? I'll tell you why. Is that because part of it, in part, was that our ancestors, they looked at it as a business. And they got to where they was taking a black man that was good and healthy and robust and a black woman that was built good and strong and breeding them together and producing an offspring they could sell on the slave market. That's a wicked bunch. It ought to be lined up and shot. But that's part of the reason why the Civil War. I'm saying to you that, if you will, is that when you get to where you're thinking is beyond the bounds of what God's thinking, then you're going to have to do something to try to cover it up and justify it. I want to say to you that when you begin to look into it, that you'll find that the reason why that God set the bounds of habitation so that men might be able to seek the Lord. You think this world's seeking him now? No, sir. You go down there and you look, and they showed all those homeless people that are lined up. And they had some old boys down in there and said, "Well, what are y'all doing out here? You know, how's it working?" "Well, pretty good. It's a lot better than trying to work. They give us a check once a month." Can you imagine that? "Buy me a tent tomorrow." I don't think I want to live like that unless I have to. And then I'm going to send my wife outside to get the check. I just said to you that, if you will, that everything that man feels like would be better for himself crosses the line that God has set and the bounds that God has set, and let me tell you, it'll be chaotic every time. Last but not least, did you notice over there in the book of Psalms, chapter number 139, I'll give you a moment to find that, Psalms 139. They left off to build the very city that they had planned out so well and thought, hey, this is going to work out nice. And as a result of it, it was called Babel, which means confusion. And by the way, that's all you'll ever get by trying to follow the imagination of man's wicked heart is confused. That's all that religion, without hope and without God, without a Bible, that's all religion can do for you is bring confusion. Psalms 139, verse number 1. "O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. And there is not a word in my tongue, but, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether." That ought to make us want to be careful about what we say and what we speak and how we respond. God knows all about us better than we know ourselves. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I've been saved by the wonderful and the marvelous grace of God. And I don't just have to go aimlessly through life guessing at this or that. Here in the Bible, friend, that's exactly where that languages came in, to where men couldn't understand one another. What they would do is they got up so high and they got to where they'd call for mortar, and they'd be bringing more bricks. "I don't need more bricks, I need more mortar." They'd call for bricks and they'd bring up more mortar. And they got to where they couldn't understand one another. And I don't know how much that it was. I don't know until finally one of them, you know, "I can't speak Hebrew and I can't speak piney wood root or English. I can speak a little of that. But I mean, I don't know where it was that finally, you know, they Estes not just, you know, yeah." This woke movement's got it so messed up. You know, I was thinking about it here. I heard our song. Brother Mark likes it. I see here. I don't know it. But, you know, it's got that little and in one section of it, it's Apache, Apache. You know, now they won't let you sing that no more. I remember cutting up, going on and singing that, going, Apache, Apache. You know. That's one of them passages. I don't know it. I'm not, you know. Well, that's fixing to be gone. I want to say to you that if you will, that whenever you begin to look into the Bible, you begin to recognize, I'm going to tell you something. God knows us better than we'll ever be able to know ourselves. He knows our very uprising. He knows our sitting down, our getting up. He knows when to go to bed. He knows what we're thinking. He knows what we're speaking even before it comes out of our mouth. It's good to be saved and to know the Lord in the free pardon of sin. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we ask your blessings now upon this service. I pray you'd hide it in our hearts that we not sin against thee, and that we could teach transgressors thy ways. I pray your blessings now, not only upon this service, but Lord, I pray that if there's one lost without God, they'd come to see themselves like you see them. Save them, save the soul nearest hell. Revive the saint, lift up the downhearted. I bless the nursing home ministry today, and I pray your blessings now upon these that have gathered here. We praise you and thank you that thou art God. Beside thee, there's none else. We praise you from everlasting to everlasting. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.